Welcome to the realm of heroes and monsters. Storytime with your host, A.P. Fuchs. Stories of intrigue, stories of horror, stories of superheroics, stories of monsters. Get ready, the thrill ride begins. Welcome to the realm of heroes and monsters, story time with me, your host, AP Fuchs, episode 7. So if you were to listen to one episode a week of this new season, or one episode a day, rather, you'd have 1 week of episodes to listen to. So that's not too bad. So we're doing pretty good. Plus, if you want to listen to more episodes, just go back to season 2 and season 1, and you're loaded. I believe season 1 has 30 episodes, and season 2 is about 20, I think, somewhere in there. So anyway, point is, lots of story here on the channel. And, yeah, this is getting really exciting, because now that the podcast, I admit, like, I've been really busy, guys. So I haven't had much time to really take the podcast in terms of distribution to next level. I mean, right now, the listen and watch version is available on YouTube. And then in terms of the auditory stuff, we got YouTube Music, we got Spotify, and we have a direct on my website, apfuchs.ca. And you can listen to it there. As well, in terms of the website, if you go there to listen to the podcast, by all means, you'll use it just as a listener, but you also have the option to download the podcast. So if you can't listen to it right away, no problem, just download it. It'll come on MP3, and then you can just listen to it later on. So lots of options there that are currently in place and also going to be coming up. So I'm excited for that, and that's going to be one of my projects upcoming soon, is to get all these episodes that we've done and get them out there through as many channels as possible. So anyway, that's our introduction. Here we are, story time. So before we get into the story, we have to do what? Story before the story. So let's go and talk about stories before we listen to a story. Welcome to Story Before the Story. So for those just tuning in, Story Before the Story has been a talk about stories and how our lives are compiled with all sorts of stories, just compounded with it. Everything we do is a story. So today we're going to talk about memories. Memories are a story, right? But what's interesting about memories as a story is when you go back through your files, so to speak, in your head, you tend to just pick out sort of key points or key moments, right? Like, it's almost like a bullet point memory system in a way that we have, right? Because at nighttime, our brain sifts through all the stuff and gets rid of some things. but what's interesting about that is this. Here's the example. So let's just say you and a group of, like, whatever, three or four or five other people go out one night, have a blast, a few shenanigans, tell dumb jokes, memorable moments, yada, 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 right? And then time passes. And it could be a week, it could be 6 months, it could be a year, it could be 2 years or more, whatever it might be. But time will pass and you'll look back on those moments and those memories, but you're only going to be able to pick out certain episodes, you know, certain shenanigans or certain jokes or even certain people, right? But you won't remember the exact full thing. And unless you're with that group of people to help possibly fill in the gaps, you're stuck basically with a fragmented story. So what we end up doing with our memories is, when we go down memory lane, we have our sort of key bullet point that we're exploring, but then we sort of make a story in our heads to connect memories, to relate to the memories, to analyze the situation that maybe that we're remembering. And because we don't remember everything exactly perfectly, right? Because remember, like, when you remember something, you're not remembering the actual event, you're remembering the last time you remembered it. So it's a whole other thing. But the point is, we make these stories to fill in the gaps in our memory. And then by doing so, by creating these stories, by making sense out of these bullet points, we then have a narrative upon which the memory is then created. Because have you ever had a memory, right? And you've thought about it for a while and you've relived it in your head, you know, however many times. And then you go ahead and you relate that same memory to the friend, say, that was involved in that memory. And they're going to recall it completely differently, you know. And it's interesting. They might remember some of the key moments that you mentioned. But outside of that, they're going to remember it differently. Because you remember, when it comes to any point of any event, big or small, there's always three tales, right? There's your story, there's my story, and then there's the truth. So basically, when it comes to my story or your story, you and I don't have the whole picture. We hope we have the whole picture if we teamed up together and really hashed it out. But since we don't, we make up stories to fill in the gaps. So again, once again, we need to have stories in our lives to help us get through, even for something as simple as recalling a past event. Okay, so here we are, wired for stories, once again proven, memories. Now, without further ado, let's get into story time. See you there. The crash. The Toyota Camry went airborne at 103 kilometers an hour the moment it hit the slick patch of ice on the road. The hydropole filled the windshield, and a million shining stars filled Carl's vision as the glass shattered and its pieces sped toward him. A thousand cuts and stings ripped across his face and hands, and although they all happened nearly simultaneously, he could pick out each one and felt the warm blood trickle from each slash. The steering wheel came at him at lightning speed, and his face smashed against it, teeth bursting forth from their resting place in his gums. Blood filled his mouth. The leather covering at the top of the wheel slammed into his eyes, and when his head flew back after the impact, his neck cracked and he went momentarily blind and envisioned his eyeballs left stuck to the steering wheel. Darkness, then light, then the hydropole up close and the personal, and the Camry folded against it in a tight U. Carl's head throbbed, and there was immense pressure against his forehead, even though he was leaning back in his seat, his head touching nothing. He tried to reach up to see if his head had caved in from hitting the wheel, but couldn't move his arm. It was pinned between the right side of the chair and the deep indent from the pole. He tried his left hand and found it had somehow gotten behind his body in a chicken wing-like angle. Realizing this sent his shoulder ablaze with pain, his left hand and fingers numb. The front of the car was folded inward and on top of him, keeping his legs from moving. Cell phone. He had a cell phone. Front left pocket. But how to dial without fingers? He tried nodding his head forward in an effort to grab it with his remaining teeth. Where'd he go from there, or how he would dial, he didn't know. It didn't matter anyway. The deep and pounding pain at the base of his neck gave him a splitting headache that forbade any movement to retrieve the phone. The cut sang the glorious sting, especially on his right cheek. He could only imagine a concentration of torn open flesh. Blood dripped from his jaw. Warm blood seeped from his mouth, and the agony of what had to have been at least six teeth forcefully extracted sent his gums into a roller coaster of shockwave after shockwave of pain. He closed his swollen eyes. Even that was excruciating the moment the skin of his eyelids touched each other. His breathing came in shallow gasps, and he wondered if his lungs had somehow been punctured. With what, or to what extent, he didn't know. He tried to calm himself, take slow breaths, focus on his ears. Aside from the sting of the cuts along their skin, they seemed to be all right. He listened for any oncoming cars. The road was quiet. Head pounding, he tried to surface thoughts of his wife and wondered if at that moment she knew he was in trouble, even though she was 20-some-odd kilometers away. They were newlyweds. Did she sense him somehow? Did she know something was wrong? All faded to black. Carl awoke again. Could have been 5 minutes later. Could have been an hour. It was impossible to tell. That hydropole still loomed over him as if in victory. The outside cold poured in from the open windshield, and he trembled from the chill. When he had left the house, it was minus 27 degrees, but with the windchill, it was probably somewhere around minus 35. The warmth of his blood had cooled. It wasn't even damp anymore. He opened and closed his mouth, the frozen blood cracking with each pull. Air barely came into his lungs. Something had got him. He focused and searched his peripheral vision for an indicator of what that issue might be. At the bottom of his vision, a black bar stuck out of his chest. It took him a moment to realize it was the windshield wiper. Whether it was the wiper itself or the handle that controlled it, he couldn't tell from this angle. Regardless, it had him, and with his body starting to lock up, he could barely take in another sip of air. He listened once more for sounds on the road. All was quiet. All went dark. When he came to again, someone yelled at him. The voice seemed far off, though out of the corner of his eye he saw a guy in a dark paramedic's uniform leaning into the vehicle. "You okay?" the man asked. "Hey, buddy, wake up. You okay? Can you hear me?" Carl tried to nod, but couldn't move. He noticed another man that appeared beside the paramedic. This one wore a robe of sparkling white. The fabric glowed so bright and shone like the sun, Carl had to close his eyes. He didn't know which man would reach out to him first. Welcome to the after credits. So here we are. We're going to do a quick plug. And the plug is this. Just yesterday, I launched the first issue of year 8 of the Canister X Transmission newsletter. So we're in our 8th newsletter year of doing the Canister X Transmission. That's pretty wild, man. Year 7 just wrapped up. And then yesterday was the first issue of year 8. All these newsletters are compiled into books, and each newsletter edition comes with a bonus newsletter that's only available in the published version. But what I invite you to do is join the newsletter. It's free. It's called the Canister X Transmission. You can find it at apfuchs.ca or canisterx.com. And it is a tab there. It says newsletter. Just go there, pump in your email address, and you're good to go. Plus, you get a free little creepy novelette as a thank you for signing up. But yeah, I wanted to mention the newsletter because it's important, because it's a good place, one, to keep up to date on what's going on my side. Two, it's a good way for me to communicate with you. And three, the big bonus is, as a newsletter subscriber, you get news of things well before the public does. So if you want the inside scoop on what's going on or what's coming up and how long, you know, it's going to take me for these Axiom Man books to come out, read the newsletter and you'll be right up to speed. So hope to see you there, canisterx.com. Look for the Canister X Transmission newsletter. Peace.